Sounds good.
Nice.
Real nice. Uh-oh. Did I lose you? Nope. There you are.
No. Just had to wake up. Hi.
Hi.
Blink. We're at the maximum swing of our time zones. 3 hours off of our normal start time. It's so crazy. You're like, hello. And I was like, wait, it's like morning. I've still got a lot of coffee left.
It's funny. Always gets me. It's coffee time. It always surprises me that we can get out of that out of sync. But you know,
what I love about it is our repeating calendar event stays perfect, like what it should be between our time zones. Because I think between us, we would never get it right if we just had to figure it out. Mm-mm. Like I would have had no idea that it was an hour early this time, even though we just had a time change.
Did ya? Nice. How's it going?
It's the last weekend.
What are you doing?
It's been a week, man. Mm. Rush order job shop job is coincided with Ricky had to take some time off, but it's just astounding, like the things you get used to. It's like being in a relationship in a certain way where like I haven't done so many steps on setting up a job on the router, for example, that like I couldn't find stuff even though it was like well marked and just felt slow. And I normally would like get something running and then go back to the office and like he would keep running it, right? And just like had to stay there and keep doing it. I just felt like I wasn't getting anything done and just silly, but it's going fine now.
That's good. Flying solo.
Flying solo. And with Gloops, too, which has another thing that's going to put on the list.
Cool video of you in a real wood shop. As I was going to bed at 1 a.m., I was like, hang on. It's stupidly scrolling Instagram.
Me too.
I saw this video pop up of a cool, very busy-looking wood shop. And then I was like, hang on, I know that voice. That's familiar.
I was doing voiceover in my bed on a little microphone, and I was like my son was trying to fall asleep, and I was like talking a little too quietly, so it's almost like a little weird ASMR-y.
That's quite intimate, yes. Here in my ears.
Would you like to go on a tour of this loud workshop with me? I'm going to whisper so it's sultry.
What was that place?
It's called Creative Woodworking Northwest. And I think the guy that owns it started it in like the 80s, I want to say. And he slowly bought an entire city block close in and has that giant building I was in. And then at the end, there's another building on the block next to it where the glue up, like since I'd been there a couple of years ago, they've added a 5-foot by 10-foot vacuum bag suction machine to vacuum press glue ups, which worked. Out of the 8 glue ups, I think 5 of them seemingly didn't have gaps, which not amazing, but I purposely made more than we needed because it was a rush job and I just didn't have time to have not enough made. So anyway, I can go into that in a bit. But how's your week been?
Okay, I've been grumpy. I mean, I've been a crap boss this week.
Same.
Grumpy boss man. Which is annoying. Not quite sure why. I probably started with disappointment in the studio sale last weekend. Didn't get the numbers that we usually get. Thus, didn't get clear the sort of the amount of stuff and get the cash injection that I'd hoped or sort of come to expect, because with the last few years we've pretty reliably done $12K on the day and did sort of under half of that, and that was frustrating and not sure why. We did the whole thing a little bit later in the year, so maybe everyone's just that little bit busier. closer to end of year, but also the my stories on Instagram, quite a lot of people reached out after the fact and said, oh, I missed that completely. Like, the algorithm didn't feed it to me. So, yeah, disappointment, frustration around that just led to me being in a crappy mood.
I wonder if you can do it more like an event where you, like, invite people to, like, a Evite thing, like, a month in advance. I know it's probably hard to plan that, but maybe it's worth it to try to really...
I thought I'd done enough of that, but maybe not. I even sent an EDM.
I saw. I got it. And I was like, I can't go this weekend.
Thanks for considering it. And then I don't know what, just niggles, jobs, minor issues with jobs going wrong and just like, grumpy, grumpy. And then extra grumpy last night at like 9:30 when I realized that the note in Airtable about the finish on a job had not been observed and that the job that was being delivered this morning had been painted the wrong tone. And so I crashed into the workshop at 10 o'clock and resprayed it all. And yeah.
It's the best part about it on your own business.
Felt, you know.
Who else is going to do it?
I know. It's the scent last night. I was like, you know, I was grumpy, but also it's just like an annoying thing of like everything is your ultimately your responsibility and your fault.
Yep.
Because I didn't remind anybody about the change, like the different finish, and yes, it was written down and documented, but I didn't make a point. And I looked at it, you know, I saw them being sprayed yesterday, and it didn't flag in my head. I was like, you know, oh yeah, it looks normal. Blah 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 blah.
Do you just have to remake it from scratch? Like you can't.
No, I think I managed to. Save it just by going over the top.
Nice.
It was going from clear to a tinted white, so I think.
Oh.
I think yeah, got away with it.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, that's been my week. And then I didn't do what I should have done last night after finishing that, but I stuffed around for a bit and tested our new spray booth that Johnny put together yesterday.
Just like a kit of parts, right? Just put it together
real quick. Spray booth. If only. No, it's like it's just a box with a fan on top and a paper filter, and I'll send you a little bit. I did some quick testing last night of like with a backlight. Well, using my slight light actually, and I was like,
right.
Is it drawing enough vapor through? Testy. And it seems promising. The whole thing's a bit of an experiment, but I think it's working okay, I think. Reassuring.
Cool.
Reassuring.
Seems fast compared to like, I don't know. Cool.
No, yeah, I know what you mean.
Sounds easy.
Yeah. It's seeming easier than I thought too. But, you know, to be fair, I had done a fair bit of prep. And thinking about it, but
right.
I guess the whole thing was hypothetical the whole time of like, I think this is going to move enough air. I don't really know because our water wall is, I don't know, it's probably like 30 years old and it's got no data plates on it other than just like the, you know, 5.5 kilowatt. Plate on the motor, the fan motor.
It's got to have built up finish really somewhere on it that's like 10, 20 centimeters, right? Like,
it's no, that we old. We clean it.
Well, sure, but like, it's a thing that just gets filthy.
Yeah, although it had a very light life before we had it.
Wow.
It had been used in a ceramics department in a university. So probably, you know, yes, it had a little bit of paint on it, but it was, you could still see the original metal in most places. Like it was pretty lightly used. But yeah, I never really had any data on like, yes, this moves this many cubic meters per hour or blah, 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 that I was trying to like compared to, I was just sort of going off research of like Australian standards for spray booths and trying to match that. So
weird. I'm watching it now. I just full screened your video, so hopefully I didn't kill the podcast.
Yep, cool.
Spritzing. Interesting.
Me standing in the dark, spraying water vapor around.
You could do like a really low, quiet voiceover on that, maybe.
I like it. doing some stuff.
Well, I bought two new robots in the last week.
Sick. Well, sort.
They were $98 a piece. our original Chippy Shark AI robot vacuum for the shop still chooches about, but there's some sensor that has finally bit the dust led to whether the bins attached to it or not, and on its own from bumping into stuff for over 2 years, it seems to have like disconnected somewhere inside. And I just kind of was just like, it, you know, literally one day if we're making stuff in the shop and it doesn't run, I'm like, this is like borderline unhealthy or like unsafe now. It's like slick again. Like I want to, you know, we want to be clean every day. I don't want somebody to be sweeping. And I've done a few repairs, minimal like maintenance parts on it. And I just happened to pop up, get them on Amazon, either lightly used or renewed, as they call them, and this one was $98. Like, I think the downside is that it's got a smaller battery inside. Instead of 2 hours, it's like an hour and a half of runtime. So I also was like looking for the next door shop. I was like, I'm not sweeping that shop. That's crazy. So I bought two for cheaper than the original one, and they both are set up and running. I think the one in the new shop has a battery issue and I might have to swap that out, but they're like $20 for a new battery. So
That's cool.
We had a client come by for this rush job, and it'll go and recharge itself, its battery, and then dump itself, do its little, I always tell my son it's having a diaper change when it goes over to the and sweeps itself out at home. And it had come back out in the middle of the day here, and I was cutting on the router and it was dumping dust, and it was just underneath as it was dumping, like sweeping the dust as it was coming down. And the client was like, I can't believe you have a Roomba. It's so smart. And I was like, it's cheap. It does a lot of, like, it's really valuable.
It is smart. You're making me feel pretty stupid right now because I did not buy a RoboVac this week. I bought the opposite. I bought a push-along sweeper. For a hell of a lot more money than that.
Still $90. What happens if I just send you one? Will it go through? Can we would it get like caught at customs?
Yeah, so I think I paid about 15 times that for my push along manual sweeper that you have to push around the workshop. I'm happy with it, but it's not a robot. I'm a little bit sad that it's not a robot, you know.
Go ahead and keep paying your labor costs, man. That's fine.
Shut up.
I think I told you last time, this is like one of those numbers that's annoying to read, but or hear. My simple, stupid math was like, it saves us 10 minutes a day. It's run weekdays for however long. It was like over 2 years. What's its value in our cost rate of our labor? And it was over $8,000. $8,000, which is like, oh, that's a stupid number, but like, I'm not paying anybody to sweep. Like,
awesome.
Anyway, we'll see how this new one goes. But for $98, I'll have a fleet of them. Honestly, for $98, I'll have three per shop. Like,
hell yeah!
You have on here twice that you're grumpy.
I know, that's how grumpy it was. Boss.
More grumpy.
So I sent it in twice. Damn it. Your GoPro thing just reminded me out. I was up to... No, I had the kids in bed way too late last night because we got a couple of like little remote control cars. And for some reason, we started racing them well after bedtime. And it's like the most adrenaline fueled activity that a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old could do. And I was having so much fun. I was like, no, I don't want to put these away. These are great.
Like a 9-year-old added on there.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be the responsible 9-year-old and keep racing these with you.
Come on, guys. Let's go. Let's race these cars right now. Let's make a ramp.
Yeah. Oh, damn, that's a good idea. I'm a bit jealous of your robot sweeper. But, yeah, I bought the push-along version. I just put a link in there. You would have seen these. It's like the warehouse.
I love that plug. Sweeper.com.au. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I've seen those.
The push-along warehouse one. And it's quite meditative. I've had a few nice sessions just walking around the shop, chilling as I push this thing around.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
And it's quick and very effective, and it doesn't get, like, it can pick up big, you know, can pick up this rock, no worries, this little colored in rock, and just suck it up. So, yeah, it's good for, like, bits and pieces and larger chunks and, see how it goes.
Yep.
It'll be good incentive to get stuff off the floor, because I was immediately aware of how much crap we have on the floor as soon as I started pushing it around. I was like, why is that bucket on the floor? Why is that box of parts on the floor? It's just like, get it all off the floor. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be nice.
That place, Creative, that I was at last night, they like to buy toys. They need
a sweeper.
They have a Zamboni. Like a floor sweeping, like ride on giant machine.
Ride on.
I was like there at the end of the day and talking to this guy, just chatting, and I see there's like this Zamboni floor sweeper go by, and I'm like, what was that? And he's like, oh yeah, that's Mike or something. He comes by and sweeps the floors at the end of the day. I was like, that thing is amazing. It's like, you know, if we tripled any of our shops or 10x our shops, our robots would be a guy on a robot.
Awesome. Now, can I ask you about the awesome application that you're building that I want badly?
Yeah. Sure.
Is that public?
Let's do it. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
So you've teased me with enough
amazing
little clips. It's cool. Well, we've joked about it here for ages, years maybe, of having a to-do list that swears at you. And I had it's a very strong
like the Harry
sense
Potter
during the week of like, damn it, I want Justin's app that he's made. I want my phone to curse at me when I'm not doing the things I should be doing.
After you said that last night, on my way into that wood shop, I was talking to GPT. I was like, all right, so I've made an app. It's ready to be tested. What's the next steps to like get it on the app store? And so I went through the whole thing. And of course, you know, I will overcomplicate it, but like, it's like, yeah, you should really start another business, an LLC, and get an EIN number and like... And I was like, well, yeah, okay. All right. Because, like, it has to be, unlike just, like, I don't know, some things when you whip them up, you, like, have to be a, not credentialed developer, but you have to be, like, an entity. And so I don't know that I want to put it out as my current business. I don't know. Would you just put an app out on Like Butter if it was, like, kind of unrelated?
No, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I know how to do it. I just need some time to do it. It kind of sucks in that you can't, like, unlike some of these stupid little apps we made for Mac that are like unsigned, right? We use for like the podcast. Like, you can't do like the iPhone is really locked down. Like, you have to go through to send it to anybody. It has to be like through the App Store system. So,
yeah. Well,
I guess maybe to give a little more information about it, I've mentioned it here. I've had this idea for a long time to have an app that is, its primary feature is getting you to do the stuff you need to get done and do it in an unconventional way. by levels of harassment or insults or, like, you know, I've got an unhinged mode for it where honestly I don't even know what that might entail at this point, but it's working on, you know, like a local scenario. I can add tasks and projects, and it's just getting it to the next phases. So
how much of its effectiveness for you is the sort of ultra novelty of the fact that you built it and you can kind of make it whatever you want?
You know what? I was wondering if it will work for me at all because I made it.
Oh.
I feel like it's going to be like contrasting to, like, since I know a lot of the like statements, and like you were saying, what it needs ultimately is to never repeat itself. Which is a pretty strong challenge, and you can like connect it to like an LLM and stuff like that, but in trying to make it like as viable MVP style as possible, like trying to not have databases and like any type of recurring costs or stuff, you know, at first it's like trying to make it really stripped down, and then, you know, if anybody has interest in it, then keep evolving it over time. But like I said to you, what I really want it to be able to do, which I don't think is possible, is like, say we're wearing our AirPods, walking through the shop, and it just like, it just like, Jem, get your shit together, you know? And just like, you can't even control. What do you want? You didn't get your done.
Yeah. They can Aaron tell
had,
you
Aaron
just
had a really good
passed
idea.
The paper towel. Aisle,
yeah,
and it knows paper towels on the shopping list. You haven't bought paper towel for a month. It's like, come on.
Yep.
Sorry, Aaron.
I told Aaron about it last night because I was like, "Did I tell you about my little app thing I've been working on?" And she's like, "Because I mean, I kind of tell her about half the stuff. It's like, you know, every day screwing around with something weird, and I don't tell her most of it because she doesn't care or get it." And she was like, "That's kind of funny. Like, do you think it'll work for you?" And I was like, "Maybe." She's like, "You should." she like doubled down on it. She's like, "You should make an option where you can pay to extend the timeline so that it doesn't keep like harassing you." And you said that it should donate to a politician locally that what you didn't like or you did like.
No, you're
like you weren't
least,
a fan of.
Least, yeah, the one you're least the political party you're least aligned with, it will donate to their cause every time you like delay a task.
God, that would be so effective for me.
I know, it'd be terrifying right now, right? Yeah, you could do some fun things.
A lot of the fun for me is thinking up the little tortures. Like, I enjoy that process a lot.
Of course you do. Yeah.
What we should have a suggestion option. How else would you like to be messed with?
No, but in all seriousness, I need something like that because I'm not, I don't know, maybe because I'm having a grumpy week. I'm just not getting through what I feel like I need to be getting through, and pretty unfocused. Like, oh, just so many shiny objects at the moment.
Yep.
Things that I should be working on, but then it's like, oh, those like IoT relays that I ordered just turned up. I wonder how they work. Oh, I need a power supply for them. I've got a pile of things like that. Oh yeah.
I've got.
What was I doing?
This is one of the main downsides of like having a new shop over there. Is I was talking to somebody I saw at that woodworking shop that like we follow each other on Instagram, and they're like, "Oh, how's your new machine?" I was like, "I put it over there, and I haven't had time to look at it in the last 5 days, but I keep getting stuff for it that we've either, you know, ordered, like coolant filter screens and like a I think it's over there now. It's I finally bought a coolant mixer because we've been using a paint stirrer, right? And it's like a Venturi mixer where water comes in, it sucks coolant out of the bin, and then it comes out mixed, which is
that what
the future.
That's not what a Freddy is, is it? Freddy's something else.
No, there's probably a way you can use a Freddy. A Freddy will filter.
It's like a vacuum.
It's messaging me.
Oh, it's so good.
It can pump and be like in or out and use different levels of filtration. So you can like literally clean your coolant with it or just suck out junk.
Okay.
Like a clean out. And unfortunately with maybe someday, maybe if the UMC goes real well, we'll get one, but they're like $9,000 right now, I think, with tariffs and all the BS.
What is this? So coolant mix is just drawing in neat coolant and mixing it at the right ratio to then pump into your
tank. You got concentrate. You got
incoming
water, which some people get crazy or you're not crazy. They do what we should probably do is like filter the water, osmosis the water. Then you set it on the top. You set it a percentage you want it to be coming out, which I think you have to calibrate to some degree. And then it comes out pre-mixed, which is right now a huge step up from, I think I said this before, we're using a bucket, pour in some water, pour in some concentrate, stir it with a drill, which is kind of how everybody starts.
Makes sense.
There's friction to it, right? So it's like some days you go and run the machine and you don't top it up because it's like, I don't have time more or less to fill up the coolant tank. And now suddenly your concentration's like 20% and you're like, ah, crap. I was a pretty cheap little one and seems like a good investment. I think it's $180 and they can be like 1800 for different levels of them.
It's two RoboVacs, man. Jeez.
That's two RoboVacs, but I don't have to mix them anymore. Yeah, so I haven't gotten to the UMC, which makes me feel bad, like I'm just failing at stuff. But I got, got a good couple jobs in that you got to do the real work first. But otherwise, I feel like in preparation for those jobs coming in and quoting some other things, and last week we had a lot of sales through the shop. This week's been slower, but I just felt like I was like a slave to my desk and email in particular, and I really hated that. I really hated, I want to find ways to not have to do, I don't even know how to say it. Like, this day and AI guys talk about like automating these email tasks with their customers.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do that with like every way I've ever tried just feels really impersonal and doesn't handle the nuances and.
Yeah, I can relate to that a lot. Not to make excuses or downplay their business as an example, but like I am a customer of theirs and I don't care that they would be automating all their help tickets if I needed to go to them with a help ticket. It's kind of just
part of the joke.
It's part of the joke, and it feels like that whole business is just a thing that they've spun up as an experiment anyway. And as a customer, I know that the whole thing's a bit of an experiment. So the fact that I'm happy to be a guinea pig, and if I'm getting guinea pig automated help tickets, then cool, it's just part of it. Whereas, that feels different if I email you and say, hey, my fang clamps aren't fanging. What the hell?
Don't say that.
No, they are fanging. They're awesome. But, for example, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've got the same problem. I want every response to be like ultra gem tone, like nuanced.
Yes. Right. When I heard them say that, because like you had talked about the show for a while and I've been listening more for like the last couple months, I find it entertaining. I like the guys and. Like I told you last week, I didn't realize there were brothers. I don't know how. I just like didn't catch either their name or I think I saw the YouTube and I was like, oh my God, their name's their brother. but when they said that a while back and that they use Help Scout, which is what I use. They've got MCP connected to it and all that, through Sim Theory. And that I was like in the shop shopping for groceries, listening to them, and they're like, "Yeah, I mean, I've gotten a lot of stuff done lately. I had Sim Theory just go through and like answer all my Help Scout tickets, and I was like, what? That's been me before. Like, what is this? And I like kind of like annoyed, but also like humorous reaction to it. And now I totally understand more. Like, the shtick is just, yeah, like you said, it's kind of all been a big experiment that has turned into a business for him to some degree. So,
Yeah, I don't know the answer. Like, I'm quite, I don't know about you, but I'm quite self-conscious in my day-to-day business operations about my use of AI tools. I don't make it, other than chatting to you about it, I don't really like to talk about the fact that I'm a heavy user, because I feel like it clashes with my target market. And I don't know quite how to speak about that effectively. And, you know, so it's something I'm aware of in terms of task automation when it's customer facing like that. And yeah, I don't know.
The answer.
I mean, I'll give you like a couple thoughts that I've had that, I'm not posting about how I use it. And I feel like it's the equivalent of, like, in a lot of ways, in the way that the sim theory guys talk about it, is they've burrowed into my brain. It's like everybody's using it or will be using AI things. And it would be like talking about using Illustrator when your output is a guide or like an illustration, right? Like, it's your customers don't really want to hear about the tool you used anyway. Like, they just want to use the output of it. So it's like, if you can best help them, like the thing that I'm excited about, and I was messaging with those guys on their Discord saying, like, I think you had said it in the while back, I actually found you had posted, like, I would like a Shopify MCP, because that's the thing that would finally connect all of my tools together. All of my, I can use Help Scout, and it's been working pretty well to like get context on customers and then look at context of other customers and like help answer questions, or like some of our stuff's really technical to answer about, like, can I use this with this machine? It's like, it's just a lot of me searching otherwise and trying to remember things where it's fast at that. But then I also like want to be able to get the context of what has this customer ordered before. And so I can see what their machine is, what tools they have of ours already. And if I can put all that together, that's just saving a crap ton of time. And I'm still often writing a lot of the responses anyway. It's like not giving me perfect answers. So that was a long ramble.
No, it makes sense. Why do you have any opinion on the sort of, you know, probably tiny but potential trend of customers seeking out businesses that don't use AI at all?
I've not heard of that.
Okay.
I could totally see it similar to like the boomer dudes in America that want to buy only American made things and then quickly realize nothing's made American and or they can't afford it.
Yeah.
So sure. I could see a similar thing where what I think is incredibly tone deaf, not that anybody's here to listen to us talk about AI further, I suppose, but it's like these CEOs who are like, we're firing a bunch of people and hiring AI agents. And it's like, well, why are you telling us this? You know, like, if it works, cool, do it, maybe, but like, I bet in the end you're going to hire a bunch of people back and you're just trying to like boost your like stock price.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's kind of like, yeah, it's ego boasting, but yeah, maybe it just boosts your investor value. I don't know.
Right.
Meh.
The other thing that I've been wanting, well, in how busy we have been in the last couple weeks, it's been a long time, but I have started to have that feeling of like, I maybe could use hiring somebody. And I was trying to think of what does that mean? And I don't have any specific answer. But back when I was trying to hire like an office person and had for a couple weeks, that was one of the greater moments of like my business where I was dealing so much less with email and I could work on new things, or And when Ricky will tackle, when you know he has a second or it's most pertinent, most sensible for him to tackle an email to a customer, that is nice. It's just nice that like somebody else is caring about it and taking care of it. Yeah, and those are the things that I can't imagine passing to AI at this point. And I still feel like it would be useful to have somewhere between sales. Like I always have weird instincts to wanting to hire somebody. Like I have, you know, most people, I think when I was first hiring, were looking for somebody that ran a machine or programmed. And I was like, I want somebody to do both of those things. And like, you know, that's a different category of employee. And now it's become a little more common with like things like Fusion. But I, you know, what I want right now is somebody that does service, like customer service and sales. And I don't know, those aren't super common things together for like expertise. So, I don't know. Just beginning new thoughts about that.
Yeah. I think like that stuff, in my experience of employing people to do customer service and sales stuff, is I think customers, from my experience anyway, customer service is innate. People are either good at it or they're not. It feels very personality based. And sales is trainable, but at the end of the day, sales is also entirely about relationships, depending on what you're selling. Again, this is just my experience.
That's why I suck at sales.
Obviously that's going to differ for just straight e-com. I think then sales is something very different. But if sales is person to person, then I think it's about relationships and trust. And that, I think that's trainable to some extent. But I think both of them, you kind of need the right personality to start with.
Do you think it's foolish to try to, if I could find somebody that's part-time and fit this mold, I think I would think to hire them right now. But do you think it's just foolish to like find somebody that maybe does both of those things? Like,
for your product model, yes, I think.
Foolish.
Yeah.
Okay.
For what you're selling, I don't see the fit. But I obviously don't have a complete picture of your business. That's my vibe check on it. Anyway, we can talk more about that in hushed tones.
Buy anything or process anything as a career.
Yeah, I'm fine to keep going about it. I don't know. It's a very early thought of just like this week has felt, last 7 days has felt bonkers, and it's kind of been leading up and growing and building. And then, you know, we don't have a lot of other scheduled job shop work, but I have a couple potential recurring jobs out of these current ones. And, you know, obviously, well, with Ricky being out, that was a whole different experience too, of like, there's a point when I'm just telling people via email, like, I'm not going to see my email for the whole next 2 days. So sorry, I don't know what to do. Like, I got to make stuff.
I guess that's a good thing to do. I guess, yeah, what opportunities are you losing by doing that? Maybe none.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. Probably some.
Probably some, maybe none. Like, I find that can at times be a useful self-weeding tool of like, by the time I get back, the jobs that I probably should have said no to straight away have faded away, and the good jobs are still sitting there waiting patiently for the quote or whatever. I find that happens semi-regularly to me, where if like, and not necessarily intentionally, of like, crap, I forgot to send you. You were a great lead, and I never even sent you a quote. Are you still interested? And they're like, oh, yeah. Happy to wait, blah, blah, blah. It's like, awesome. You are a good customer. You know, great lead, good opportunity, and you're still sitting there waiting for me. Happens fairly regularly. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, the jobs that I see come in and I read them once, and instead of saying no immediately, I let them sit and fester in the inbox. And when I finally get back to them, that lack of indecision has sort of led to a point where it's like, yeah, no. I either say no then, or I'm checking with them and they're like, yeah, they've moved on. So I don't know. You just got to make the system work for you. Like, something I would like to get better at is just not checking my email every 2 seconds when I'm at work.
Yeah, this is what I meant. Yeah, it's like I felt like I was either waiting on somebody or feverishly trying to, you know, do that while also my other tasks just felt manic.
Yeah, and like I've become a little bit aware lately of like what my default tabs are. In my, like, when I'm sitting at my desk, my default tabs are like email, Airtable, and Discord, since we've switched away from Slack, like team comms. So they're kind of my three screens. And why do I have my email tab open all day long? Like, is that necessary? Really not. Like, maybe that needs to be a different default screen. Like maybe my default should be something else. Like,
but just think about, like, you know, Bomb Johns we're talking about, which we are not the same levels of those businesses, but you got to look forward to something, I suppose, or like plan for something. And I am in no way in the position where I can just like disconnect and not interact with support and sales and all those things, because that's basically a lot of what I'm doing currently. But I also, like Grimsmo was talking about, like one of his friends was saying to him, like, what's the value of your time as the owner? And like, I think about that a lot in regard to whatever I'm taking on at the moment. What's the future cost of that? You know, like the future, especially related to our products. It's like, if I'm not working on a new product, that recurring revenue of product sales is going to answering questions about jobs we're either not going to do or we're going to do once. And it's like, it's a lot of back and forth. And the other side of that, though, that I like try to split in my head is, if we can, like, our machines are not always busy and Ricky is often busy, but it's like, if I had just enough other people that made sense to do some of these tasks of like entertaining the sales quotes and scheduling that in between our products, like, could we just like double our revenue because we have the bandwidth for it, but I seemingly don't have the bandwidth to manage all of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're not technically like slammed all the time.
Yeah, we're the same. Like, we've often got, technically, we've got heaps of machine capacity, but I'm the bottleneck. I don't have capacity to quote more or talk to more customers about fulfilling that machine capacity.
Yep.
It's interesting looking at like my quoting metrics in Quotient, and like my conversion rate has never been this high ever. And it's almost up to 80% now, and it's sat around 75% for the last sort of...
Where do you see that? In Airtable?
In Quotient.
Right.
Like jobs won 77% today, and that's like the rolling average for the year, and it's...
Dang, you know, that's high.
It's never been that high before, but the reason it's that high is because I'm cherry picking way more. Like, I don't put quotes through Quotient until I'm pretty bloody confident that I'm going to win the job. And they're like, cool, I'm going to sink the time into building this formal quote for you now, because I'm pretty sure you're ready to buy.
Yeah, that's interesting to look back through the years and see the percentage evolve. I don't really look at that percentage very much, I guess.
Yeah, so if I go back 2 years, it's 50%. If I go back 3 years, it's 40%. So it's like, it's pretty much gone up 10% every year over the last 4 years. And Yeah, and it's not, we're doing the same amount of work, same, very similar revenue to previous years, but I'm just way more selective about what I bother to quote now. And it's partly just a time constraint of just like, I physically don't have time to put all the inquiries through Quotient, and so I cherry pick really hard. And that's
our sub 12% acceptance rate.
Nice.
46%.
Also, a very, very healthy conversion rate. Like, it's great.
Doing the same thing. I know a lot of businesses
that are under 30.
Well, there was a market shift when we committed to the UMC. I was like, okay, time to take on thinking about everything. Like, you know, what could we? I'd like to build up some cash if possible. And the same thing goes. It's like we put aside outside work often when we're working through new products or like production stuff because of that value. It's just so much more valuable to do our own stuff. You sacrifice, right? Like I have a customer that has repeatedly kindly reminded me of a product that I've promised would come out this year that has accessories for it. And I just continue to keep saying, I'm working a lot. I cannot get that done right now. That's not trying. I don't know what to say. Like, I would like to make that too.
Mm.
Thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen the, I think they're called Olitree robots getting hacked? Unitree.
Unitree. No, what are they doing to
them? Oh my God. So they have like the worst combination of like, I guess they're little robots that are humanoid and seemingly meant for like universities or like companies to like use internally. And people have been buying them or using them in a more like public way for like, I don't know. They're not siloed away. And so what people have found out, they're incredibly easy to hack in a sequence of ways that's just like absurd. Like they all have the same password. They use some kind of like low level technology that like makes them incredibly susceptible to the worst part of it is they have Bluetooth built into them and they can retrain each other by being within 6 feet of each other. With like no control over this. So like you can literally spread a virus between one robot to the next by just taking the viral one next to it and it just overtakes it and then you can control it kind of like a worm virus basically.
Yeah.
So there's some good videos of them like losing their minds and like tweaking out. They just mostly look like toys.
I do find the robot dogs strangely attractive for some reason. Kind of. That's part of me that wants one.
I should go hang out with David again, see if he can get out his robot dog. He showed it to me in that tour.
Has he got one?
Yeah. They used it in Katy Perry, I believe, hired them to put it in one of their videos. Music videos.
Wow. That's cool. I'm pretty much out of time, but my
right one.
My final thought is, or question, because I'm curious, do you make any formal time in your week to do any sort of reflection as part of your schedule?
I tried to this morning, not formally, but I try to, I don't know, I've just been like chasing my tail lately.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've been doing lots of tail chasing, but not doing that at all and feeling the lack of it. And I don't know where to slot it into the week, but I feel like I need to do it every week, if not every day in some small way.
It's kind of the responsible thing to do when you have, like, I remember that being so much more important when I had multiple employees, and Ricky has very kindly just taken to like figuring out something to do when I'm stressed and not giving him enough lead of like, we should work on this today. He just like knows a ton of things to accomplish. But you probably have that problem where it's like multiple people are looking at you like, what are we doing right now? And you're like, gotta have a plan.
No, I don't. Like, I'm lucky to not have that. Like, my guys are very... The system works. They're very self-driven. I've got the self-driving models, which is awesome. You know, I still get fielded with plenty of questions, but that's, you know, again, everything's my fault. Like, that's because I haven't put enough information into Airtable or haven't fully resolved something at quoting or blah, 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 whatever. But, like, they're all very valid questions. But, no, I've got pretty driven peeps. But, yes, reflection was more critical when I had a bigger team. Or just check-ins, like more regular check-ins. I've got so slack with the check-ins since we've become a smaller, tighter team.
Right.
But yeah.
What, have you started something or are you just thinking about it?
No, I'm just trying to work out where the hell to put it in the week. Like I genuinely don't know where that is going to... Yes, I can do it. Yep. You know, on the drive home this morning before I take the kid to school. But in terms of like trying to find a repetitive rhythm of like, yeah, every time at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, I'll walk to the dog park and take 15 minutes and do blah. Don't know. Yeah. Just need to force my hand.
I have a problem of this that I'm feeling more and more bad about is like just doing any type of like self care, you know, like exercise. Like I just don't know when to do that. Like it literally just has to be taking out of my workday, which already feels very truncated once you have a child, at least in our lifestyle of how we have daycare and stuff like that. It's very worth it. It's just like I've said before, I've been used to for 15 years kind of working as much as I wanted. You know, that it works with my partner, and now it's like daycare finds you if you don't pick up your child on time. You know? So I don't know. I have the same problem, and if anybody has, I need a therapist is what I need, or like a coach. But I just similarly need to force myself into those scenarios. And like the only thing that worked for me back when I was running solo and you know, well before our employees was I would force myself to do, I think I've mentioned it before, like a analog, get out a piece of trace paper, or like piece of paper and like write out the things I was thinking about. And that was like the best planning I ever did was not getting in front of a computer, not trying to do anything else, get coffee. Maybe I need to walk over to the office next door and it has literally nothing in it but a chair and put a desk in there and just go, do your thinking over here.
To an analog desk. Yeah, nice. I like it.
You? Any
maybe I need to lock myself in here more often in the broom cupboard without my laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like a great place for a hammock.
It would be. Naps. All the naps. Cool.
I can't find any of these videos of hacked robots for some reason. They just are like cool marketing videos.
I got to run away. Pack a van. Traditional Friday activity. Thanks for chatting. I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Ring that bell.